Mmm, the first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
In college basketball, you never know what will happen, but one thing is for certain, that the more hoops you get, the better chance you have of winning. And Greg Peterson, the man whose nickname is Hoops, knows all about it. From the Blue Bloods to the Afterthoughts, Greg breaks down every game, every team, every day. So now it is time for Hooping with Hoops.
Welcome to lovely Las Vegas, Hooping with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. Book It Sports is the app that's going to be changing the way that you look at sports betting, and it is coming out November 1st for both iPhone and Android. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. Think about all the things that you love about hashtag gambling Twitter, that you love about being able to follow people's plays on other social media sites other than Twitter, like, say, a Facebook and Instagram. I know that some of you guys do that. They combine all the good. They include live scores, line moves, what have you, with the app. And at the same time, they take out all the political fodder. They take out all the random cat memes that you see from family members, everything like that. So everything that you love about sports betting, Twitter, and other social media sites without the bad. So very much looking forward to that. Just like in the second segment, I'm very much looking forward to having a great chat with Jade Saylor. She is out there with the Alabama Sports Network. She does a great podcast of her own called The Starting Lineup. We're going to be getting her take on the Alabama Crimson Tide. If you guys listened to my preview of the SEC last week, you know that I'm very high on them. Just how Nate Oates has been able to do a good job with their system. Also a little bit about how the local restrictions out there in the SEC part of the country are, because we've been gauging a lot of how the local restrictions are with California, New York, what have you, and we haven't gotten as much on the SEC because we know that they're a little bit more relaxed there. And also going to talk a little bit about the general SEC, Kentucky getting their guys in Olivier Saar along Jacob Toppin eligible immediately. So going to have a fantastic conversation in the second segment, and then in the final segment, as I usually do, gonna give you guys a little bit of a roundup as to all the college basketball news and notes that we've seen from the last 24 hours. And on this podcast, I do love to be able to answer your Twitter questions as well. If there is something that you'd like answered, feel free to fire that into my Twitter timeline at @JerryScorty1. If you send those via direct message, well, letters DM to me mean does not matter. You're also able to send these in via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, you're able to leave your question, comment, concern there. And I always do appreciate when you guys are able to leave an Apple Podcast review, rate 5 stars, because that helps out the exposure of this podcast. It allows people that are unfamiliar with this great podcast, Hooping with Hoops, that, hey, Greg Peterson doing a great job looking at all things college basketball. So I do appreciate that. And we did get in one question today, so let's dive into it.
So you have questions, and Greg may or may not have any insight into them, but let's dive into the Twitter mailbag.
And the Twitter mailbag today is brought to you by my good friends at MyBookie, who realize that sports are reaching a fever pitch right now with the college basketball season now 33 days away, but who in the heck is counting? They also know that you've got some great action when it comes to the MLB World Series, the NFL, college football, and they want to help you get ramped up for the college basketball season with a dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit with MyBookie. All you need to do is use the promo code OVERTIME. That's all one word, OVERTIME, and you are able to get up to a $1,000 deposit match when you use that promo code. You're able to fire in on the side in total like I give you on this podcast every single day when it comes to college basketball season. But on top of that, you're also able to bet on things like player props, especially when it comes to the NFL. They've got a great menu there, in-game betting, so much more. So great to have them aboard, and it's great to see that many of you guys are aboard. And I know a few of you guys have been asking, where in the heck is a schedule for the upcoming college basketball season? Why isn't there one? I'll give you guys a very simple answer. They are currently still hammering these out, and you've got pretty much 357 different D1 teams, might become 349 if the Ivy League does not wind up playing this year, trying to figure out how they're going to best maneuver this. On this podcast, you guys know that I do the college basketball news and notes from the previous day. Sometimes if I do a college basketball preview, it's the previous 48 hours when it comes to those conference previews, because those take a little bit more precedent, but I do a great job of being able to round up all of those. And You're seeing some of these teams setting up random multi-team events. We saw Georgia Tech on Thursday announce that they were setting up a multi-team event, and it just was one of these things which you've got a lot of like handshake agreement, nudge, nudge, wink, wink sort of things in which we sort of know what's going to be going on. I think it is confirmed that the first game of the college basketball season is going to be November 25th. That is going to be noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific between George Washington and Navy, but it's one of these things in which if you're looking for a schedule right now, there just isn't one to be had just because we are trying to schedule games in a pandemic, and as we've seen with college football, we saw a team like Houston wind up not playing for a full month because all the teams that they tried to play were not able to get up off the ground due to COVID-19, and we even know that Rice football, I don't think they played a single game this year due to COVID, so it is one of these situations in which it's unfortunate that the real world is sort of colliding with sports, but that's what we've had. It's why the start of the college basketball season has been pushed back. You had all those bye games put into place, and pretty much all those got wiped out the window, so it is a little bit of an unfortunate situation, but it is very rewarding to be more of a day-by-day better, much like I am, rather than someone that's trying to look like way into the future. You just can't do it at this point. You've just got to be happy with the games that we do wind up getting. In the year 2020, we just have to take the approach of beggars can't be choosers. We are going to be getting college basketball. I assure you guys, we are going to be getting March Madness, unless if like the Loch Ness Monster winds up eating the bracket, and we are all going to love it. So it is going to be a great season. We just don't know exactly all the fundamentals and all the logistics of the season, but it's going to be tremendous, just like the chat we're going to have on the other side with Jade Saylor. Does an absolutely terrific job in the great state of Alabama. Going to be talking to her about the Crimson Tide, the SEC in general, and so much more. And that's coming up right here on Hoopa with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Bucket Sports.
Greg is going to the bench and bringing in a sharp shooter from the Overtime Network Hotline.
And we're back here in lovely Las Vegas for Hoopin' with Hoops. Myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Bookit Sports. Bookit Sports is going to be changing the way that you look at sports and sports betting. Think about it as the social media feed that you've always wanted for all your sports and sports betting, only without the things that you hate about social media, like your mom posting up cat memes on Facebook. I can relate. It is not fun. It is one of those things that you get to avoid. You get to interact with other people with regards to their bets. You're able to post up your picks, get live scores. It's going to be absolutely tremendous. And our next guest on this podcast is absolutely tremendous as well. She is out there in the great state of Alabama as she does some work for Bama Network on Twitter. And that is the first ever female sports show hosted by a pair of college students. She does an absolutely terrific job with that. Obviously, as you can tell, she does a lot with regards to the Crimson Tide. And you're able to follow her on Twitter at her name, Jade Saylor. And I will spell that out for you. J-A-Y-D-E-S-A-Y-L-O-R, as it is. Jade joining me on the podcast, and it is great to have you aboard. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
It is great to have you aboard, and I am a big fan of your coach, Nate Oates, because I am actually a graduate of the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh. Nate Oates got his start actually in the same Division III conference that my alma mater is a part of, and this is a guy that has had a nice rise through the college basketball ranks, and in his first year at Alabama, you can tell that things were a little bit hit or miss, but he did a great job of getting this team to play a little bit more up-tempo, and I know that you've had a chance to see them up close and in person, and what'd you see from that first year from Alabama? Because it felt like this team was getting a little bit more comfortable in their own skin. I think bigger than that, John Petty, a guy that I'm sure you know, he had his struggles whenever he would hit the road as a freshman, but then in Tuscaloosa, he played very well. He was a much more steady player, road to home.
Yeah, so I was really excited when we landed Nate Oates, and I kind of saw how things were trending with the season last year. I didn't really expect us to do much better than we did performance-wise, but it was just incredible to like compare the season before and the Nate Oates' first season, basically with nobody he was able to recruit on his own. He basically was just working with Avery Johnson's players. And the style of play was so different. It was just like a completely different team, even though it was the same players. And I knew once he was able to recruit and get his own players in, get a year under his belt, that this year, I think we're going to have a really, really different team.
Yeah, absolutely. I do think that this is going to be a fascinating year for Alabama. And it is a year in which there's going to be a lot of new players that are being brought in as well. I do think that Alabama is going to be one of the better teams out there in the SEC. I know that there's palpable buzz around Kentucky because they wind up bringing in all their blue chip players and everything like that. But a guy that I really think is going under the radar that Alabama is bringing in is Josh Primo. He's a guy that he comes over from the country of Canada, from Toronto more specifically, number one player out there, ranked 58th nationally by 24/7 Sports, a little bit of a 6'6" combo player. And I think that these are the guys that Nate Oates has always had a lot of success with. These guys that they've got a little bit of size, they're not necessarily like these 7-foot giants or anything like that, but they're able to pull in a couple rebounds. They're able to run the floor, guard multiple positions, and shoot threes. I think that he, along with bringing in a guy in Jordan Bruder, who we know is smart because he was attending the University of Yale last year, I think those two guys are going to be able to make a tremendous impact for this team.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, they may be flying under the radar nationally, but Alabama fans were super, super excited to land both of them this offseason. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I think they're going to really adjust to the style of play that Nate Oates likes to play, probably better than most have so far.
I totally agree, as we do have joining me on the podcast, Jade Saylor does a terrific job out there in the great state of Alabama, part of some tremendous podcasts. She's done some work with Tide 99.1 out there as well. And another team I think is going to be very powerful out there in the SEC as well. That's another team that I think they've done a good job of being able to mix their recruits along with bringing in an impactful transfer to, and that'd be Tennessee. Whenever you think of the SEC the last couple of years, you think of Auburn, who was able to make the Final Four. You no doubt think of Big Blue Nation, but when you take a look at Tennessee, I've always had a lot of respect for the job that Rick Barnes has been able to do. We remember when he took over that Tennessee program, they were not in good shape. Donnie Tindall was having his whole situation going on. He only lasted 1 year out there in Knoxville. But what I like about this team is that they're bringing in someone that is going to be, in my opinion, one of the better low post players out there in the SEC, in EJ Onwusike. He was 6'7", 235 pounds from Sacred Heart, average a double-double for them. And then you also do a great job of bringing back guys like Josiah Jordan James and company. I think that versatility is really becoming the name of the game out there in the SEC, because we've noticed with all the recent hires in the past couple years, these guys like Will Wade coming in, no doubt Nate Oates when it comes to Alabama, list goes on and on, that most of these teams, really aside from Texas A&M, they're looking to kick it a little bit more up-tempo. And with Tennessee, it really feels like they're a team that they're able to play that positionless basketball, and they're going to be able to D up with so many of these teams that have looked to pick up the pace.
Yeah, and it's going to be really exciting to see these teams face off with this fast-paced basketball. Even last year when teams like Tennessee and Alabama played each other, it seemed like the game was just really quick up and down the court, and the players have to adjust to that. But so far, I think they're doing a really good job, and the coaches, obviously, like you said, that new style of play is working really well.
I totally agree with you. And another team that they were very interesting during the college basketball season, that'd be Arkansas, because we know that Eric Musselman was able to have some great success out here in the state that I live in, Nevada. He was able to take that team to the Sweet 16 a couple years ago. Things maybe fell a little bit short in the NCAA tournament during the 2018-19 season, but he came into Arkansas. He's really been a little bit of a throwback to what we've seen from Arkansas basketball in past years. They're going to play very fast, but at the same time, they're going to play tenacious defense. And I think someone on Twitter said it best. It wasn't anyone with like a notable Twitter handle or anything like that, but he collects transfers much like a child collects Pokemon cards. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious how many guys they've got coming in, guys like Jalen Tate, Vance Jackson, Justin Smith, and those are just the guys they brought in this offseason. You take into account a guy like JD Notte. I think that this is the biggest unknown when it comes to the SEC, because it feels like with so many schools, like LSU bringing back Trendon Wofford, Javonte Smart, you know what you're going to get there. With Alabama, you bring back John Petty, you bring back these guys like Herb Jones and company, you know what you're going to get out of Alabama. But with this Arkansas team, because they've just got this huge collection of guys, other than really Desi Sills, that you haven't seen on the floor together, it's just one of these things where you feel like Arkansas could be a team that makes a big impact out there in the SEC, but this could also be a team that flops a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really kept up with Arkansas as much as probably some of the other names in SEC basketball, but that's a really good point with the transfer thing, and I'm kind of excited to see how that plays out for them.
And we've noticed that a lot of teams out there in the SEC have really adapted to transfers as well. One of the big pieces of news out there in college basketball from this past week, the fact that Olivier Saar along with Jacob Toppin are going to be eligible immediately for Kentucky. With Olivier Saar did a very good job with Wake Forest, right around 13 points, 9 rebounds per game. But the numbers I felt like were a little bit hollow just because Wake Forest, let's face it, they were not a good basketball team. So it was one of those situations I felt like someone had to get those numbers. And then with Jacob Toppin, here's about the thing that I could say about him. His brother is Obi Toppin. While he was out there with the Atlantic 10, he wound up giving the team 5 points, 4 rebounds per game for a Rhode Island team that they weren't even sniffing the NCAA tournament. He wound up shooting 25% from 3-point range, 65% at the free throw line. And I don't know about you, but it's just one of these things in which I see so many people buzzing about Kentucky being a top five team. I just can't buy it because when you take a look at what they've got returning, Keon Brooks gave the team 4.5 points and 3 rebounds per game. I'm looking, and that's the end of the list as to what they're bringing back. So it's just one of these things in which I think that Kentucky has a lot of raw talent, but we know in this pandemic year, even out there in the South where things are a little bit more relaxed when it comes to local guidelines, restrictions, what have you, than say out here in the state of Nevada, the state of California, that it really is going to be more difficult for these guys to be able to gain chemistry when they just haven't played together.
And that's a really good point, is just how these players have adapted to this whole COVID thing and how they worked during the offseason before they were allowed to be back on campus. And it's really going to show who has put in the work when they didn't have to during the actual quarantine before we were allowed to come back to school and they haven't had all the practice and working together like they usually would. But it's really hard for me as someone from Kentucky to just write them off. So I'm not a fan, but I've grown up around that. And I just always feel like Coach Calipari is going to have them ready somehow and they're going to show up big like they always do.
Absolutely. And I'm someone that I actually used to work for the flagship station of the Vanderbilt Commodores coming up in my radio career. So I know all too well about the SEC. Kentucky not too far from Nashville, Tennessee. So certainly is one of those things where I'm not too sad about that, as we do have Jade Saylor joining me on the podcast. And Jade, when it comes to just the work and the practice that Alabama has been able to get in general, I am curious as to how things have been going just with this weird off season, because I mentioned it a little bit earlier, local restrictions out there in the SEC part of the country, places like Alabama, Florida, Georgia, they're a little bit less strict than, say, a state like New York, a state like California. But from just what you've been able to gather, and if you don't have overly much information, don't worry about it, but just how these guys been able to get back out there on the floor and just what sort of work have they been able to do? Because I have to think that it's been a lot more individual drills rather than full five on fives and full team practices.
Well, I will say I feel like they've been a little bit quiet and kept to themselves a lot of information as far as things like that go. So maybe they actually are doing a little bit more than what the media sees. And they're just trying to be quiet on that so that they maybe don't get in trouble or potentially get in trouble, because I'm not really sure where our guidelines stand on that. But I will say I do think they've been doing a lot of individual workouts and drills and things like that at separate times. They typically have like a trainer that they'll go in with one-on-one, and that keeps them, you know, socially distanced. But I think they've done a really good job so far with being able to get practices in and try to work together as a team and follow guidelines.
And as we know from good old Odell Beckham Jr., obviously this is college football related, but you don't want to be doing things that might be bending the rules in plain sight as well. So there certainly is that aspect of it. And Jade, just when it comes to the upcoming college basketball season, we're a little bit over a month away. So I'm sure that you're excited for it, much like I am. And I'm sure that you're obviously focused on football right now. But just with the upcoming college basketball season, it might be from an Alabama standpoint. It might be from an SEC standpoint. Heck, it could be from a national standpoint. You get to pick your poison on this one. But what is just something that you're looking for in general? Because I do think that it is going to be very intriguing in that I don't think the gameplay is going to be as different as a lot of people think with these games that are going to be played without fans, because we know that a lot of these players that are at the D1 level coming up, they played AAU basketball, and in AAU basketball, typically these guys are playing in front of friends, family, a couple scouts, and that's about it. You've got the old school style where you have like that mesh netting in between two courts and everything like that. So it's not like these guys are completely foreign to playing without fans. And I think that that's something that's getting lost, because obviously you'd love to have the fans out there. It's always great to see places like Cameron Indoor, places like Rupp Arena, just absolutely packed, all the fans cheering, the pageantry. But with that said, I don't think we're going to see as much of a drop off with regards to the gameplay as many people might expect.
Yeah, and I've actually talked with some players about this, and they, you know, of course, love having fans in, and it makes everything hype and fun for them. But they've also said that they're not going to miss it, that it doesn't really affect their style of play and the way that they play and what they're going to bring on the court. So I don't think that's going to be a big issue at all. I'm not really looking for that to affect any games. I'm mostly just excited to see how all these different teams mesh together with such a shortcoming. I mean, like you said, it's 30 days away and they haven't really been able to do what they would normally do in the offseason. So I'm just excited to see who shows up. And, you know, of course, I'm excited to see how this new Alabama team works with our injuries that we had last year, bringing in Javon Quinterly finally after he was ineligible last year, having John Petty back on the team. I think it's going to be a really good year.
I agree. And Jade, I know that you're doing absolutely terrific work as well. I mentioned that you were doing some work with Tide 99.1. That's actually 100.9. I'm thinking back to my Nashville days, back when they were Tide 99.1. So that's just me thinking back to the good old days. But I know that you're doing an absolutely great work with regards to a little bit of everything. You and Caitlin Heffler do an absolutely terrific podcast that you can get wherever you get this podcast. I know you're covering a little bit of everything when it comes to Alabama. Obviously, college football is in full swing. And as we know, college football, one of the greatest things going in this country. So, Jade, let the good people at home know where they're able to follow you on social media and just what you're all doing in general with the podcast and so much more.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, like he said earlier, at Jade Saylor. And you can follow our Bama Network. It's just at Bama Network on Twitter. And our podcast is called Starting Lineup. You can get it on Apple, Spotify, anything like that. And we also have a YouTube channel called Bama Network. And, yeah, like you said, we cover pretty much all Alabama basketball, football, baseball, gymnastics, whatever. And then we also cover like nationally.
And it's great to see a podcast with two females being the lead and just doing a great job of covering sports in general. You can tell that both of them have a great passion for it. And it's absolutely terrific that we're able to get a good look at the SEC for the upcoming season as well. So a big thanks to Jade Saylor for joining me right here on Hoopa with Hoops, now powered by Book and Sports. And coming up next, it is that time of the podcast that give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw from college basketball on Thursday. Here in lovely Las Vegas for Open with Hoops, myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now powered by Book It Sports. Book It Sports is the app that is coming out November 1st, and it's going to be a game changer for college basketball betting, along with just general handicapping, as they are going to be able to give you guys live scores, live line moves. They're the social media site that you've always wanted for all of your bets without the things that you don't like about social media, like all the cat memes that your mom posts. I'm sorry, Mom, but I don't like all the cat memes. So they are doing an absolutely terrific job. You're able to follow all that they do at Book It HQ, and Jade Saylor doing an absolutely terrific job with the starting lineup available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. So a big thanks to her for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast. I give you a little bit of a roundup as to all the news and notes that we saw from college basketball over the last 24 hours. We saw a little bit when it comes to a scheduling standpoint. Rhode Island is going to be playing a pair of standalone games out there in Mohegan Sun. These are just going to be straight up non-conference games at a neutral site. Rhode Island is going to be playing against Stephen F. Austin and Towson in both of those games. Towson is a team that I think is going to be able to have quite a bit of success out there in the Colonial. They are very well coached by Pat Scarry. They've got a couple transfers coming in, obviously lost a couple, but I think that that's going to be a good matchup. And then Stone Cold Stephen F. Austin. They put the F in Stephen F. Austin as they are not going to be eligible due to low academic progress scores for the 2022 NCAA tournament, but they're going to be eligible this year. As we know, they wound up taking down Duke. This is a team that was number one in all of college basketball in turnovers forced per possession on defense, so I think that that's going to be very intriguing. We also saw a couple other games that were set out there in the northeastern part of the country. Bryant, a team that I have projected number one in the Northeastern Conference, is going to be taking on Syracuse in the Carrier Dome on November 27th. Gotta think that that's going to be an empty Carrier Dome. As we know, the Carrier Dome has set so many records for most fans in attendance for like a regular season college basketball game and everything like that. I don't think that this is certainly going to be the case, but November 27th is going to be a very significant date for the Bulldogs. And then St. John's and Boston College are finalizing an agreement to wind up playing a game at Mohegan Sun on November 30th. That's going to be a straight up non-conference game, but played at a neutral site. And speaking of teams from the northeastern part of the country and teams from the Big East, Xavier transfer Demir Bishop has received immediate eligibility to be able to play at St. Joe's, so that is going to be able to help them out. As we know, St. Joe's had a very brutal 2019-20 season as they are trying to turn over a new leaf as they've got a new coaching regime in their second year. And for Bishop, he wound up playing 10 games during the 2019-20 season. He only gave the team about a point 2.5 rebounds per game, 6'5" combo player that is a native of Philadelphia. So he's right back at home. Only shot 12% from three-point range and 31% the free throw line. But given that he was only playing 12 minutes per game in 10 games, very small sample size, he should be able to give a St. Joe's team that desperately needs a little bit of something a nice bit of a boost. I mentioned this in the first segment, the fact that we've got so many scheduling quirks this year because you've got so many different multi-team events that are trying to be set up. There is one that is trying to be set up by Georgia Tech. They announced on Thursday that they're going to be setting up their multi-team event. The date and really the teams that are going to be taking part in this is to be determined, but with that said, they are trying to do so. Got a nice little update here from Shannon Russell. You may recall that she joined the podcast about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. She is the Louisville men's beat reporter for the Courier-Journal. It seems as though a couple more teams have joined the multi-team event that Louisville is going to be launching, and here are the teams that are in that right now. Obviously, you've got the Louisville Cardinals, Western Kentucky, Winthrop, UNC Greensboro, Southern Illinois, Prairie View, A&M, Duquesne, and Arkansas Little Rock, now known as Little Rock, and there is a possibility, according to Shannon, that this might expand to 9 teams, so that's going to be a good one. Western Kentucky is a team that I could certainly see being a force out there in Conference USA. I've got them projected number 1 in my order of finish for that conference. Prairie View A&M is a team that loses quite a bit, so I don't think that they're going to be towards the top of the SWAC this year, but they've got a couple transfers coming in. Duquesne is going to be a little bit of a dangerous team. UNC Greensboro, they welcome in Hayden Koval, but as we know, UNC Greensboro, they're currently in a quarantine as well due to a couple players testing positive for COVID-19, so in a little bit of wait-and-see mode there, but I projected them number 1 in the SOCON before that news. I think that they're still probably going to be number 1 with Isaiah Miller, guy that wound up generating 2.9 steals per game, was a guy that actually tested the NBA draft. Waters coming back, and then as I mentioned, Mr. Koval, he's actually 7 feet tall, averaging nearly 3 blocks per game, and he's a guy that shoots over 33% from 3-point range, so no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That is going to be a very interesting multi-team event. We will add this one to the pile of college basketball news, and you'll get the pun in a second. Ben Pyle, who is transferring from Western Illinois, the good old Leathernecks, he decided that he was going to transfer to the Toreros of San Diego. He is going to be eligible immediately. This kid is 6'7", while he was with the Leathernecks during the 2019-20 season, was able to do a solid job for the team. Gave the team a 43.2% three-point shooting percentage as a 6'7" combo player. Shot 88.6% the free throw line, 12.5 points, 5.5 rebounds per game. That's going to be big for a San Diego State team that, let's face it, they're not returning much of anything from the previous season, and they could really use all the players humanly possible to be eligible immediately. That is a good one, so that is going to be nice. Chris Doherty, he is going to be playing for Northeastern. He is going to be eligible immediately. He is transferring in from Notre Dame. This is just someone that wound up not getting a lot of run with Notre Dame in general. It is one of these things with these transfers in which you've got a lot of guys from the Power 5 schools that they wind transferring down a level to see a little bit more playing time, and then the guys that tear it up at the mid-major level, they wind up going to more of these Power 5 plus like Big East, Gonzagas, what have you. But for Doherty, only played 6 games during the 2019-20 season and 2.3 minutes per contest. So Doherty's out there, 6'8", 235-pound guy that is coming over and is a native of the state of Massachusetts. So he is going a little bit closer to home for this one. So very nice to see him being able to get his opportunity. And then one interesting note from more of the logistical playbook is that the Division I Men's Oversight Committee is going to be discussing whether or not multiple teams from the same conference can take part in a multi-team event. As we know, I think that it was the Pac-12. They wound up playing a strange non-conference game out there in China. That was a few years ago. That was obviously something that was interesting. It was actually Colorado versus Arizona State, if my mind does not fail me on this one. But you'd have sort of a similar situation in these multi-team events. Now, with a lot of these multi-team events, they're a little bit less of a tournament format. They're just like round robins, so you might have a possibility if it's an 8-team multi-team event that you don't wind up having those teams from the same conference ever playing each other, but that certainly is an interesting wrinkle. That note is according to John Rothstein, and on this podcast, you are getting a look at all 32 conferences for the upcoming season with a preview for all of those, and with that, a deep dive on all 357 D1 teams. We're down to just 4 conferences right now. We're going to be doing the Big 12 along with the Big 10, ACC, and the American Athletic Conference within the next few weeks. I have previewed all the others, so if you're looking forward to that and you like what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis on this fine podcast, Hooping with Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That'd be Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. And if you ever have a question for the podcast, one of two ways to be able to fire that in: my Twitter timeline at JarrisCordy1, as per usual, letters EM to me does not matter, or you could also send these in via an Apple Podcast review. Rate this podcast 5 stars, as it certainly helps out those that are unaware of the fine work that is being done here. And for those that don't know about Hooping with Hoops, shame on them, but there are still people that don't know about this podcast. Those that they don't, they see, oh, there's a lot of people rating 5 stars on Hoopin' with Hoops. I should check this out. And then they'll realize that this is an absolutely superb podcast. So I always appreciate your help with that. Always appreciate great guests as well. Jade Saylor doing an absolutely terrific job with the Bama Network, the starting five lineup on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts. Also a big thanks to Book It Sports and all that they're doing for this fine podcast as well. And the biggest thank you goes to you for listening every single day. And I will come at you guys once again tomorrow. Hopefully you're all safe, healthy, and doing well. Thank you so much for tuning in.